The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com. So let's go to Luke chapter number 18 this morning. Well, for those that might not know, today is Palm Sunday. And today was the day 2,000 years ago that Jesus made his entrance into Jerusalem. And it's called Palm Sunday because as Jesus came, he was greeted by the people who shouted what? Do you know what they shouted as he came in? What was the word they shouted? Hosanna! Could you say that with me on three? One, two, three. Hosanna! And that word means save now, save us now. And they cried Hosanna as Jesus came in. And sadly, it was just a short few days later that that same crowd that cried Hosanna, save us now, would be the same crowd that cried what awful words? Crucify him, crucify him. And so Palm Sunday, we think about him coming as the king. The story that we're going to read this morning happened, it's hard to say if it was moments, hours, or a day or two before Palm Sunday, or it could have been that very morning. But what has happened when we come to Luke chapter 18 this morning? As we come to Luke chapter 18, Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem. He's about to see Zacchaeus, and there's some things that are happening, but he's coming in for his final week before he would give his life. And so we pick up the story in, well, let's read verse number 31, actually. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day, you go ahead with me, he shall rise again. Can we try that one more time? I'm just gonna ask you one more time. We serve a risen Savior, don't we? Let's try that one again. They shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Amen. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was coming nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, together now, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I'd like to talk to you this morning about when you need mercy. When you need mercy. Let's pray. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. I pray this morning for your power and your presence as we preach the word. I pray, Lord, that every one of us would be alert to what you'd have for us. I pray that you'd help me as I speak. Guide me. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would go before me in this room. I pray that you'd prepare the way for these words. I pray that all of us together right now would commit, Lord, to obey what you speak to us. Whatever it is you speak to our hearts about, help us to obey, help us to respond. So we just ask for your special blessing, your anointing on the preaching of the word this morning. May it lift up, magnify, and glorify the name of Jesus. In his precious name we pray, amen. Please be seated. So there was quite the commotion. And if you can imagine the dusty and dirty roads that are leading into Jericho, which is just outside the streets of Jerusalem, you can imagine the scene there, and as they're going through the village, And what's happening as Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem, as Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, there are more and more people that are gathering around him. And it's going to culminate into just a vast crowd of people that are all gathered there in the big city of Jerusalem. But now they're just going through these towns. And it's almost as if in each town that they come to, there are more people that are gathered with them. And it's this entourage that's the dust is kicked up. And I don't know if there's animals that are following along, but it's making a scene and it's making a noise. Now, the noise is really important. And if you paid attention to what we just read, you know why the noise is really important. The noise is really important is because there was a man who could not see. He was blind. He couldn't see. But he heard a noise. And he's listening. And the noise is getting closer and closer and closer. And as it gets even closer, you know how the dust starts to work up. And remember, he can't see, but his senses, after all these years, his senses are fine-tuned, so he can hear it coming before probably anyone else. And he can feel the dust on his face just a little bit before everyone else. And poor blind Bartimaeus, that's his name actually, could you say that with me? Bartimaeus. Actually, that we don't know if that's his name because Bartimaeus literally, Bar means the son of Timaeus. So this guy, we don't even get his actual name. He's just that blind man. He's just that guy over on the side of the road. Oh, he is always there. Who is that? What's his name? I don't know, but he's the son of Timaeus. And he's there blind and he's begging. But he hears the noise. He feels the dust. And he says, "What is going on?" And he turns around and he's trying to find somebody. He's listening and he's trying to get somebody's attention. Hey, what's happening? Hey, what's going on? What's going on? What is all this noise? What is all the commotion? What's happening? Can you help me? Can you tell me? And probably he's used to people, we'll see in just a few minutes, he's used to people kind of shoving him off to the side. He's used to people not paying much attention to him. And he's probably used to having to ask multiple times. And he says, "Would someone please tell me what's going on?" And then someone stopped. And someone came up to Bartimaeus, and they took the time to maybe put their hand on his shoulder, and he's there, and he knows that they're there. And they said, "Why? It's Jesus of Nazareth. The carpenter from Galilee, the miracle worker, the healer. He's come from Galilee, he's come from Nazareth, and he's coming to town." Well, at that very moment, he knows the crowd is there. He knows who is in the midst of the crowd. He clearly can't see him. He doesn't know where he is in that crowd. But Bartimaeus, maybe he's down on the ground in the dust, or maybe he's standing by now at this point trying to find his way. But without any hesitation, he cries out at the top of his lungs. Now, we just read it in our Bible. We just read, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." But I want you to know, you can mark it down, that's not what it sounded like on those dusty streets that day. You have a desperate man who cries out, and among the crowd, among the tumult, he says, "Jesus! Jesus! Son of David! Have mercy on me! Have mercy on me! Jesus! Son of David! Have mercy on me!" And somebody says, "Hey, shut up! Be quiet. He's got no time for you. There's a crowd here. Bartimaeus, get out of here. Get out of here." But what does he do? What's he do? He cries the more. And he just cries, and he cries out, and he cries out, and he yells out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." You tell me, it's really simple. What's he asking for? One word. What's he asking for? What's he asking for? Could you say that? What is it? What does he want? What does he need? What has he got to have? It's mercy. He needs the mercy of our... I thought about singing that song today. Wonderful, merciful Savior. And he's a blind man, and he's looking for just a little bit of mercy. You know, as I thought about that this morning, I thought of this statement, "Have mercy on me." We talk about mercy. And maybe I'm wrong about this, but I feel, and again, I can't speak for everyone, But I feel like we talk a lot more about grace than we do about mercy. I see some heads nodding, so apparently a few of us agree with that statement, so I'm just going to keep going with it, all right? I feel like we talk more about grace than we do mercy. And we should just keep talking about grace. I mean, because grace is amazing. You guys, you kids maybe, do you know what grace and mercy are? If I said those words to you girls, like grace and mercy, well, probably your Sunday school teacher has done a good job teaching you what those words mean. But just in case somebody doesn't know, I want you to, and if you're taking notes, this you can put in your introduction, we need to think about grace and we need to think about mercy. The wonderful thing about grace is what we get. Could you say that with me? Grace is what we get. I don't mean to just make you keep repeating me, but I find it helps us all stay together. So let's say it together. Grace is what we get. It's what we get. We don't deserve it. Amen? We don't deserve God's grace. Have we done anything to earn God's grace? No. And it's wonderful. But mercy, if grace is what we get that we didn't earn, grace is what we don't get. Mercy. If grace is what we get, mercy is what we don't get. What's mercy? What we don't receive, what we don't get. Even though we actually do deserve it. So grace is getting what we don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what we do deserve. So I feel like we talk, and I could be wrong, but I feel we speak a lot more about grace than we do about mercy. And can I submit this to you that not for all of us, but for some of us who maybe we have a healthy sense of self-worth, maybe we've got a little bit of education, and maybe we've got a job, and maybe we've got a car and a nice place to live. I think sometimes we can almost start to kind of understand why God would be gracious to us. After all, we're nice people, right? After all, we're not perfect, but all around we smell pretty good and we look pretty good and everybody's dressed so nicely today. I mean, we're not perfect people and we need to be saved. We understand that. But now that we're saved and now that our life is really starting to go down the right track, yeah, I can understand why God would be good to me. Now, when we think that way, we've totally misunderstood what grace is, right? But you know what helps plant our feet back down in reality? Is understanding that it's not just grace that we need, but it's mercy that we need. That we need mercy. That we need God in His compassion and in His goodness to look at us and say, "You deserve the worst, but I'm going to be merciful to you. You're not so clean. You're not so good. You're not so great. So I'm going to show you some mercy." Bartimaeus, the blind man, he understood that he needed mercy. Did he not? I mean, he cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He understood that he needed mercy. Do you know why? Because when you're blind, you need mercy. I want you to follow this with me now. When you're blind, you need mercy. And when you're alone, you need mercy. Think about Bartimaeus and think about his life. He's blind. He needs mercy. When you're all alone, we do know actually that Bartimaeus had one other friend with him, because if you read this passage in the Gospel of Matthew, you'll find that there were actually two blind men. But Mark and Luke only record Bartimaeus because it seems as if he's the one doing most of the communicating with Jesus. But there were actually two men. But other than that, other than the other blind that may have tried to support each other, Bartimaeus is all alone in this world. And when you're all alone in the world, you need mercy. Has anyone ever felt all alone? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand or say it, but have you ever felt all alone? It's in those moments when we find ourselves not surrounded by friends, not surrounded by family, but we feel all alone. Those are those moments where we understand we need mercy. We need God's mercy. When you're blind, you need mercy. When you're alone, you need mercy. Hey, when you're unloved, you need mercy. No one cared about Bartimaeus. No one loved him. Where's Timaeus? He's the son of Timaeus, so I'm going to assume that Timaeus has died. And there's no one left to love Bartimaeus. When you're poor, you need mercy. When you're powerless, you need. And when you're desperate, you need mercy. But folks, we've always got to remember, and I have to remember that I may not be alone today. I may not be poor today. I might not feel desperate today. But for the grace and the mercy of God, there go I. And there are times in our life where God allows us to go through things where we realize how desperately we need His mercy. And Bartimaeus has no question about it. Have you ever come to the place in your life where you realize, you know what? I am not such a great guy. I am not such a good person. Oh God, I don't deserve it. I can't repay it. I can't earn it. I'm not good enough for it. But oh God, would you just give me a little bit of mercy. Just a little mercy. Just a little mercy. God, I'm not asking you for what's fair because that's what I've already got. Bartimaeus doesn't say, Lord, Jesus, son of David, I don't deserve to be a blind man. Did he say that? He didn't say, Jesus, son of David, why has this happened to me? Do something about it. He doesn't say that. He says, Jesus, son of David, please have mercy. Have mercy. And you see, it's when you understand that you need mercy. When I understand that I need mercy, that things begin to change in our life. And things begin to change in our relationship with the Lord. So in the rest of this passage, if you'll turn over, I just want to give you three simple things this morning that happen when you understand that you need mercy. So young person, teenagers and boys and girls, grandmas and grandpas, moms and dads, single folks, everybody, listen up. You need mercy, and I need mercy. When you come to the point in your life where you understand, I need mercy, God's going to do some things. Look at this. First of all, I want you to notice this. When you need mercy, the name of Jesus is your hope. When you need mercy, the name of Jesus is your hope. We heard that awesome song this morning about power in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Do you believe there is power in the name of Jesus? That our only hope for salvation, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is only in the name of Jesus, because his name is exalted above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every tongue should confess that he is Lord, or every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now I want you to understand that this blind man Bartimaeus, because he knew he needed mercy, he understood the power and the hope that was in the name of Jesus. Do you see what he says to him? For 3 years, people have been calling Jesus Master, Teacher, or the Carpenter, or the Man from Nazareth. But this man, when he wants mercy, he goes by the royal and official name of Jesus, and he calls him what? Jesus, what? Son of David. Son of David. And when he said that, do you know what he was saying? He said, you're the son of David. You're the promised one. Son of David means the Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior. He said, Jesus, I know that you are the one. You're the one. You're the only one that can show mercy. You're the only one that has hope. And what happens is the name of Jesus becomes our hope. Jesus, son of David, Savior, promised one. And you know what? No matter how hopeless things had become for Bartimaeus, no matter how hopeless things seem, he knew he could have hope because Jesus was there. Come on now. He knew there was hope because Jesus was there. There's a crowd. There's people. There's a lot going on. They don't care about his desperation. They don't care how much mercy he needs because they're pretty good. They're in the popular crowd. They're following Jesus. They're part of the wonderful, wonderful throng of people that are coming forward. But Bartimaeus is not with them. He's all alone. He needs mercy, but he heard the name of Jesus. And when he heard the name of Jesus, he didn't hesitate. He didn't pause. He didn't stop. He says, I need him. I want him. And he cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you know what? When you know that you know that you know that the name of Jesus is your only hope, it does not matter what other people say. It doesn't matter. Bartimaeus has said, I don't care what you think of me. I don't care how foolish I look. I don't care if you don't like me, if you think I'm ugly, if you think I'm noisy. I don't care about any of that. How do I know that? Because they said, hey, be quiet. Stop saying that. Knock it off, Bartimaeus. And as soon as they said that to him, he says, if you could let me add, he's like, I don't care what you think of me because I've got a need that you can't help me with. Why, Christians or lost person, why are we so concerned? Why are we so concerned with the opinions of people who cannot help us with our problems? Right? Well, what will my boss think? What will my family think? You don't understand how much mercy you need. Maybe we need to realize how blind we are, how lost we are, how alone we are. Well, what will this person think? Or what that never even crossed the mind of Bartimaeus. That wasn't even a thought for him. It didn't matter what people said. It didn't matter how hopeless things seemed, no matter what. And you know what else? It didn't matter how long it took. He was going to get Jesus' attention. I love that about Bartimaeus. He must have heard enough about Jesus to know, I don't care what you say, Jesus doesn't mind hearing my voice. I don't care what you think. Jesus doesn't think I'm being too loud. Jesus doesn't think I'm interrupting. I've just got to get to Jesus. I've just got, my voice just has to be heard because I just need a little bit of mercy. When you understand, when you need mercy, the name of Jesus is your hope. He calls out again, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse number 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. The crowd stopped at that moment. This happened all the time. Jesus would do this all the time. Do you remember, this was much earlier, but you remember that time? I know you weren't there, but you read about it. You remember that time that Jesus is with a whole group of people and they're on their way to heal a young girl who's sick? Actually, by the time they get there, she's dead, and Jesus is going to bring her back to life. And they're on a mission. They've got to get there. But all of a sudden, Jesus what? Stop. Stop the crowd. And he says what? See if you know your Bible trivia. He says, what? Who touched me? This is just another story where Jesus shows mercy on someone. He stopped the whole crowd. Who touched me? They're like, Jesus. There's tons of people here bumping into each other. And you're saying, who touched me? But Jesus, he hears the cry and he feels the touch of the one who needs mercy. Oh, is that blessing anybody else? I mean, really? He knows our need and he stops everything. He stops everything to say, who was it? And so he hears Bartimaeus and he says, bring him to me. Now, my second point this morning is this. When you need mercy, the name of Jesus is your hope, but the love of Jesus is your joy. Now, to see this, we're actually going to have to turn to Mark. Now, I did this for you. I just put it on the handout. So if you want to turn to Mark, you can do that. That's where I got chapter 10. It's Mark 10 and Luke 18. But I put the verses here because we have a little bit of detail that Mark tells us about what happened that we didn't see in Luke's gospel. Everybody's turning, so I guess that's what we're doing. So let's go back to Mark, chapter 10, chapter 10. You don't trust me that I put the real words of God on the handout, so I respect that, you know? All right, Mark chapter 10. Verse number 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, who's on the scene now? You see it? Is everybody there? Verse 46, they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Who's on the scene? Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Now remember, this is what this next little bit is what is not recorded in Luke's gospel. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, what do they say? Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Now what? Look at verse number 50. You got to think about this. Don't just read over it. Think about verse number 50. And he, next four words, go ahead. Casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. So you've got to get the picture here. So they said, bring him. Jesus says, bring Bartimaeus to me. So Bartimaeus probably didn't hear that because there's a whole crowd of people everywhere. That guy is making a lot of noise. He keeps yelling. He won't shut up. He won't stop. And Jesus says, bring him to me. Bring him to me. You ever notice when the disciples and everybody else wanted people out of the way, what would Jesus say? No, I don't want those children out of here. Bring them to me. No, I don't want that blind man to shut up. I want him here. Bring him to me. And the people are surprised. And they come down to Bartimaeus and they say, hey, be of good comfort. In other words, don't worry anymore. Stop your yelling. Stop your shouting. Cheer up. Be of good comfort because he's calling you. Now, as soon as Bartimaeus heard that, what does he do? He stood up. But did you miss the next part? You got it. He stands up. Remember, Bartimaeus, he's there on the ground. And he's got his, he didn't have a suit like this probably, right? But he's got his coat on him, his garment, covering him up, you know? Keep the sun from burning his skin. And he's like this, and he's sitting there. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Hey, Bartimaeus, it's okay. Be of good comfort. Cheer up because he called you. And Bartimaeus, as soon as he hears that, and he's gone. He's off. And he's going to see Jesus. Take me to him. And somebody grabs his arm and his other arm and they bring him to Jesus. And he took the... Do you understand what the blind man just did? What did he do? Well, sure, but wait a minute. How many things do you think Bartimaeus had? Other than the garment that was keeping him decent, if you know what I mean. Other than that, this coat and maybe a staff is about all Bartimaeus had. How's he going to find it again? He's not worried about it. He's not worried about it. Do you think a few hours earlier, if they said, hey, Bartimaeus, they're giving away free ice cream cones down over there. Do you think he stopped and said, they didn't have ice cream cones. But do you think he said, oh, sign me up, and threw his coat and took off? No way, because how's he getting that coat back? He's not, unless he can be like, hey, I lost my coat. Hey, get out of here. Hey, no, I lost my coat. No, he's not. You're a blind man. In a day and age where there are no programs for you, no help for you, you hang on to what you have. You take care of it. You worry about it. But Bartimaeus is just too excited to worry about his coat anymore. Because he needs mercy. And he knows the love of Jesus. And he is excited, and he is full of joy. He has comfort, Here's let me tell you something. There's two things. There's two things that'll give us joy. There's more, but I'll give you two from Bartimaeus' life. There's comfort. There's comfort knowing that though I might not understand what you go through, there is one who knows. There is one who is all-knowing and all-loving. I can't help you deal with the pain in your heart or what you deal with, and you can't really help me. I mean, we can help each other a little bit, but there's only one who can really give comfort. There's only one who can really understand. And so they didn't know what they were saying. They're just like, hey, calm down, be of good comfort. And that was just kind of a little phrase they would say, you know? But Bartimaeus is like, comfort? Yeah, exactly. It's just like when people say to you, well, I'm glad you found something that's so good for you. And you're like, yeah, if only you really understood how good it is. I'm glad you found something that works for you. Works for me? Oh boy. You talk about comfort. The love of Jesus is a source of joy. So I said there's two things, right? That comfort will give you joy. But there's another thing that'll let you say, I don't care about my coat, I don't care about my car, I don't care about any of that stuff, as long as I have the love of Christ. The other thing is confidence. Confidence. Be of good comfort, but then confidence. The confidence that said, you know what? I don't care about my coat, I've just got to get to Jesus. I don't care about the stuff that I have, because you know what? Once I get to Jesus, He'll take care of everything. He'll take care of it all. But the only, if you're here today and you're like, boy, that sounds really good. That sounds like something that I need. I'm talking to people that are Christians and people that might not even be believers in Jesus. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what? I need that comfort inside. If you're here today and you're saying, I need that kind of confidence that though the world around me might be falling apart, I can be safe and I can be secure in the love of Christ. I need that. If you're saying that sounds good, but how do I get it? Well, you've got to understand how much mercy you need. It comes from saying, I'm like blind Bartimaeus. I have nothing, but I need Jesus. So back to Luke, and we'll go to our last point here in Luke. Back to Luke 18. What a moment. If the name of Jesus is, if the name of Jesus is your hope, if the love of Jesus is your joy, and finally, faith in Jesus is your story. Faith in Jesus, and oh, what a story Bartimaeus is about to have. Are you ready for what happens? How many of you know? I mean, you know what's going to happen. You read the end. You already know, okay? So, look at what happens. We'll read it anyway, even though you know. He says, in verse 41, this is Jesus. This is Jesus to the blind man. Saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Aaron, you're laughing, right? What a question. He comes up to him. Jesus, you called me. And Jesus says, oh yes, what would you like me to do for you? Jesus, I mean, everybody around is like, Jesus, if you haven't noticed, he's blind. I think he wants you to make him see. I've heard you've done that for people before. But Jesus still asks the question. We could spend time thinking and talking about why that is. Just one thought I'll give you today. When we come to Christ, he wants us to bring our need to him. We have to come to the place where we own it. This is what mercy is all about. Mercy is all about, this is what I need. And for some, Lord, I'm addicted to drugs, illegal or prescription, whatever. I'm addicted, alcohol. I'm addicted, God. I need you to deliver me from that. Give me some mercy. Lord, I'm sick. As we've seen, I need your mercy. God, I have a problem. This sin in my life, I'm filled with lust. Show me some mercy, please. I need your mercy. I need your deliverance. Whatever it is, oh God, I'm a sinner and I need your mercy. A lot of people have this idea that, well, you know what? Oh, how many of you have heard someone say this before? Ready? If you've heard this before, you let me know. I don't believe in a place called hell because I've already been through hell right here. Have you heard that before? Who's heard that before? Okay. Probably everybody, right? Do you know what the saddest part of that statement is? The saddest part of that statement is that when we or somebody may say that or believe that or act that way, we really don't have a clue what mercy is, and we don't have a clue that we need mercy. Mercy comes when you're like blind Bartimaeus, when you say, I am no good, I'm all alone, can't do anything for myself, I just need your help. I just need your mercy and I just need your grace. And then faith in Jesus. I'm thinking to myself, how did I get there? All right, we do that sometimes. How did I get there? I got there because Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And he does the same thing for each of us, because before we can experience salvation, there has to be repentance. There has to be this is who I am, this is what I've done. That's why Jesus asks him the question, what do you want me to do? And what does Bartimaeus say? He says, I want to see. I'm blind, but I'd really like to see. Lord, end of 41, Lord, that I may receive my sight. I want to see. And Jesus looks at him, and he says in verse number 2, and Jesus said unto him, what's he say? 1, 2, 3 together. Receive thy sight. Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. Let's read that, those whole two phrases together. Ready? Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And next word, immediately he received his sight. Wow. Okay, another understatement of understatements. The Bible is filled with them. And immediately he received his sight. Man, this guy has most likely never seen a thing a day in his life. It's all dark. It's all black. And Jesus says, receive thy sight. Thy face hath made thee. Oh! Whoa! Jesus, as soon as Jesus says, receive. I mean, do you understand the power in the words of Jesus this morning? Do you understand that? That this is the word. This is the same voice that said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. This is the same voice that said, Lazarus, come forth. And that dead man got up and came forth. And that verse, at the very moment that voice spoke and he began to say, receive, whatever it was, the cataracts or the genetic mutation, the cells realigned themselves at that very moment in time because their creator had spoken to them. And he said, receive thy sight. And before the words are even out, Bartimaeus, I can see. I can see. That's what the mercy of God will do for you. But it's received only by what? By grace through faith. Through faith. Through faith. And that's this man's story. Think about his story. What's your story? Well, I was blind, but now I can see. Well, how did it happen? Well, I believed in Jesus. I trusted Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus. And I thought about a couple other things that he could say. And this is what faith will do. You see, this was look at verse 43. Immediately he received his sight and followed him. What's he start doing now? His life has changed. Glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. You see, he's got a testimony now. He's got a story like no one else's. But you know what? It's a story that was impossible. It was impossible. Bartimaeus, I'm sure he's named after his father, the son of Timaeus. I'm sure his parents cared for him. I'm sure they brought him to the physicians. I'm sure they brought him I'm sure they put ointments on his eyes, and they did everything that they could from the time he was a little child. But all of a sudden, it just became real. Reality set in that for Bartimaeus to see was just going to be impossible. And the story of grace and mercy is the same for us. For us to receive the mercy and grace of God, we can't do it on our own. You can go to a therapist, but they can't extend to you and I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying your therapist can't show you the mercy of God or the grace of God. And your doctor can't extend the mercy of God. And Dr. Phil, he sure can't do it for you either. And any of that stuff, and you can read all the articles, and you can study up on all this. You can be an expert in philosophy and psychology and all the ologies, but you know what they can't do for you? It's impossible for them to extend the mercy of a loving Savior Creator to you. But his story was not only a story of impossibility, but it was a story that was immediate. He didn't have to. Do you know what Jesus didn't say to him? Listen to this now. We're coming in. We're going to end in a few minutes, but we're still preaching, right? So, he says, Jesus doesn't say, oh, you'd like to receive your sight? Okay, this is what I would like you to do. I'm glad you have faith that I can do it, but I would like you to prove that you are a faithful disciple. After all, if I'm going to be your Lord, I'm going to be Lord of all of your life. So you need to, if you want to really receive your sight, then what I want you to do is, you follow me for a little while. You prove that you can keep my commandments. Is that how it worked? It was immediate. It was impossible, but it was immediate. And that's what faith in Jesus does. We receive his mercy immediately. His forgiveness comes instantaneously. Now for some of the things I mentioned earlier, be they addictions or habitual sins, listen, immediately Jesus releases you from the power of that. I'm not saying you immediately have total victory over it, but I'm saying his grace and his mercy begin to work in your life instantaneously and immediately. So this man's story is impossible, it's immediate, and boy, oh boy, it sure was incredible. People couldn't understand. People, don't expect people to completely understand what God has done for you. You know what I mean by that? Just get that no one is going to understand what God has done for you like you understand it. Now, hopefully God is doing a work of grace so incredible in your life, and his mercy is so incredible in your life that people look and they say, wow, what a change I've seen in that person. What a difference I've seen. Look what's happening. What is it that's doing that? I can't believe what's happened. That's what God's mercy will do for you. And then finally, so it's impossible, immediate, incredible. And it was inspirational. What do I mean by inspirational? I mean everywhere. Don't pack up yet on me. I mean everywhere that Bartimaeus went, he could tell somebody what Jesus did for him. And his story could be a source of inspiration and hope for others who need the love of Christ. So, let me ask you this. Do you need God's mercy right now? Well, the answer for all of us should be a resounding yes. Absolutely. So if you're here this morning, you could be one of two people. You could be someone who says, you know what? There was a time in my life where I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed the mercy of God or else I was going to die and go to hell. And that's as unpleasant as that sounds, as difficult it is for people to realize that, that's the truth of the Word of God. And if you have questions about that, I'd love to show you later from the Bible that. But you could be that person that at one point in your life said, I knew I was lost. I knew I was on my way to hell. And I cried out to God for mercy, and He saved me. If that's your story, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. But you could be somebody else in here this morning that says, you know what? No. I thought I was okay. I mean, I knew I wasn't perfect. I knew I wasn't a perfect person, but I didn't realize just what a sinner I was. I didn't realize how much I needed God's forgiveness. Well, if that's you today, listen now. You need to call on Christ today. You need to not wait another moment. You need to say, oh Lord, I am a sinner. Remember, mercy is not getting what I deserve. So God, I'm a sinner. I deserve for you to punish me, but I believe you died and rose again for me, and by faith I want you to be my Savior. I want your mercy. Give me your mercy. If you'll do that, instantaneously, in that moment, Jesus Christ will forgive you of your sins, and He'll mercifully make you one of His children. It's awesome. So one of two people. But for those that have received His mercy in salvation, your sins are forgiven. Have you started to forget how much you need His mercy day by day? Some of you in here could say to me, no, I have not forgotten. What I'm going through right now, the Lord has reminded me of His mercy that I need. So rely on it day by day. But those of us that maybe we've forgotten just how much we need the mercy of God, why don't you make today a day where you say, God, I know I'm saved, I know I'm forgiven, but God, show me your mercy today for this in my life, for that area in my life. Over here, I'm walking on my own, I think I can handle it, but today I'm realizing that I cannot. Regardless of which person we are this morning, I believe that God wants to speak to us today. Do you believe that? Do you want to let Him? Let's bow our heads.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.